Office Wife. The story of the girl who married her boss and of the girl who took over. Here is Harry Park. Commence a further chapter of Office Wife.
Frankly, I'm baffled. Here's a chap who's always given me the impression of being a bit of a Puritan where his women are concerned, suddenly turning out to be a very cagey boyo. I'm referring to Jeff Pilgrim, of course. And the small matter of that ermine coat he bought for his secretary. Wish I had 400 quid to heave about like that. Anyway, when Angela Tennant told me about it first, told me how she'd actually seen Jeff and Stella choosing the coat, with Stella trying the thing on, turning this way and that, you know the way women go on, I was half inclined not to believe it. But a couple of evenings later, I took Stella to the ambassador's for a noggin. And there were Jeff and Angela practically savaging each other with rage. Jeff rushed off, and Stella discovered that Angela knew all about the fur coat. But did she deny getting it from Jeff? Not in your life. So there you are. What's a chap to think? I wonder. Now, I wonder if Millie has heard anything on that switchboard of hers. Yes. You may have overheard just the thing I want.
You're late, Harry. What kept you?
Oh, I missed all the traffic lights. Look, Millie, for the last time, will you please not make arrangements with me on the office intercom? How did you know my office was empty this afternoon when you came over the blower?
Well, it was, wasn't it?
Well, that's only your good luck.
No, you didn't come here to growl at me all the time, did you? I just forget, Harry, that's all.
Then for Pete's sake, try not to forget in future. I've already had Miles Hendricks on my back over you.
Over me?
Yes, over you. The other afternoon when you did the same thing, the office intercom was switched on to Hendricks and he heard part of our conversation. We'll have to be more careful.
You mean you'll have to be more careful? I only go out with you, but you seem to be running about with me one minute, Stella Bronson the next, that Mrs. Tennant woman some other time, and I don't know who else in between.
Oh, are you going to start that performance over again?
Well, I'm getting sick of it. That Mrs. Tennant rang you this afternoon.
I didn't get any call.
Well, you were on the phone, and she said, would I ask you to ring her back?
Well, why didn't you?
I forgot all about it.
Ah, look here, Millie. I'm getting just a little fed up with you. Was it important?
She might have said something about it being important.
Oh, I should wring your neck. Oh, it's too late to do anything now. I happen to know Angela's out tonight. Look, in future, Millie, you pass my messages on. Do you hear me?
Well, it made me so wild. Me having to help you with other women. That's the worst of working on a switchboard.
If you couldn't eavesdrop from morning till night, you wouldn't stay there for 5 minutes. Well, what's been going on? Anything interesting?
Only that Benny Puller's after Stella Bronson.
After?
Yeah. He's offered her £20 a week to work for him. I know, because he rang up today and said had she reconsidered her decision. And she said, no, she hadn't. She was staying with Jeff.
Oh. So Stella's turning down 20 a week, is she?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's a bit of information I really can use. Millie, my puppet, you're forgiven.
Oh, far as I'm concerned, Harry Palmer, it's me who ought to be doing the forgiving. You couldn't even leave Barbara Fraser alone.
Oh, that. Come on, I'll buy you an ice cream or a licorice stick or whatever it is your hungry little pup's dying for. I'm telling you this tonight, Angela, because he's a friend of Master's and also of Jeff. I simply don't know which course to take.
You must have been pretty anxious to see me, waiting till after 12.
Oh, darling, I'm always anxious to see you.
Save that stuff for your office, Chippies, Harry. I'm tired. Personally, I don't see what you're making a fuss about. Bronson's getting ermine coats from Pilgrim every tick of the clock. She'd be a blithering fool to turn round and except a few extra quid from old Puller.
Yes, but the point is, it just about sews Stella and Jeff up tight.
They were sewn up quite tight enough for me before.
I don't think you quite catch on, Petal.
It's too late to be subtle. What are you getting at?
We see eye to eye, Angel. Neither of us wants to go about carrying tales, so we've both kept quiet about the fur coat. But I really don't see why you shouldn't mention to Marcio, just in passing sort of thing, that Jeff's lucky having such a loyal secretary. A young woman of great beauty, who's also prepared to turn down 20 a week for his benefit.
But a man who professes to be a friend of Jeff Pilgrim's, you're acting kind of queer.
Yes, it's the trouble. I'm also very fond of Marcio. One's forced to take sides. Don't you feel the same way?
Matter of fact, I do.
Well, if we keep quiet, we're loyal to Jeff, but we betray Marcia. If we, spill the beans.
I know. It's the other way round. Look here, laddie. When you say you're fond of Marcia, just how fond of her are you?
Hmm? Oh, I have a very soft spot for them both.
Come to think of it, there was a time when you were seeing quite a lot of Marcia, wasn't there, before Jeff came on the scene? It couldn't be that you'd like to see those two on the rocks, could it?
Don't babble, Angela. There's a dear. As you said, it's too late.
But you could be doing a little scheming with good old Angela to pull your chestnuts out of the fire. It'd be quite a feather in your cap, wouldn't it? You'd talk me into breaking up Jeff and Marcia's marriage while you stood by as a faithful friend and then married Marcia yourself on the rebound.
Listen, are you sober?
Round the rugged rocks, the ragged rascal ran.
All right, if you're not drunk, you're about due to be thrown into the snake pit. I've never heard such utter rubbish in my life.
Oh, don't protest too much, Harry, old boy. It was only an idea. Look, let's both sleep on it, and I'll see you later in the week.
How much later?
Say, Thursday?
All right, ring me.
But don't forget. Shut up until we've both decided what's to be done.
That's understood, Angela. I'll leave it to you.
Good. Now clear out of my flat. Look at the time. Do you want to ruin my reputation?
I'm on the scene 10 years too late for that, darling. Good night.
Good morning, Millie. Mr. Pilgrim come in yet?
Not that I know of.
Well, he could scarcely be here without you knowing, could he?
What's to stop him coming in early before I was here?
Did you jump out of bed on the wrong side this morning? Or have you decided you don't like me anyway?
My job's to look after the switchboard, not to get likes and dislikes. And that's more than you can say for some people round here.
Meaning me?
If the cap fits, there's nothing to stop you wearing it.
Look here, Millie, what are you driving at?
As if you didn't know, Miss Bronson.
As a matter of fact, my dear Millie, I don't.
I suppose you didn't turn down £20 a week from Benny Puller rather than leave Jeff Pilgrim.
Now, how did you know that? Couldn't be that you spend your time doing a little eavesdropping on that switchboard of yours, could it?
Can I help it if I have to keep the earphones on sometimes and the board's full?
And I suppose the board's always full when you want to gather some snippets of information. And then you pass the juicier bits along to Harry Palmer. This explains quite a lot. Millie, how would you like it if I mentioned this to Mr. Pilgrim? Or even Mr. Fleming?
And how would you like it if I mentioned what I know to Marcia Pilgrim? About how you got yourself sent on that interstate trip. You'd look silly then, wouldn't you, Stella Bronson?
So that's how it is, eh?
Yeah. So you keep away from Harry Palmer, see? You may be doing all right with your boss, but you keep away from Harry Palmer.
I don't give tuppence for Harry Palmer, you silly little fool. But bear this in mind. You snoop on me any more, Millie, and I might start giving tuppence to your precious Harry. And you know what that would mean, don't you? I could take him from you so quickly...
You try that on, and I'll...
Here comes Mr. Pilgrim now.
Good morning, Trafford the Bendigo and Company. Mr. Pilgrim?
Hello, Angela. It's not too early in the morning for me to call on you, is it?
Oh, what's the time? Turn that clock a bit. Oh, not 11. Good Lord, it's the middle of the night. I never get up until 11:30.
Well, never mind. It'll only be a minute, and then you can go back and hibernate. Listen, I'm not seeing any more of you, Angela.
What's the matter, Pet? Orders from Jeff? Or from Uncle Trester? to stop fraternizing with that dreadful tenant woman?
Neither. Jeff said he wanted me to go on seeing you. Because you were wrong about him and Stella, and you'd soon know it. And then you'd have to eat humble pie. Now, this is my idea. Because if you won't tell me what you have against Jeff, I don't want to see you again.
Just a minute. What did Jeff say?
He said that soon you'd know how wrong you were, and then you'd have to eat humble pie. With a steam shovel, were his exact words.
That doesn't sound like bluff, does it? Marcia, suppose I were wrong about this man of yours. Would I be forgiven?
Oh, Angela, you know I'm awfully fond of you, you terrible woman. I stick up for you right and left because I know you've had shocking luck.
That sounds suspiciously like pity, my dear.
It's nothing of the sort. Well, are you going to tell me what you know?
You may as well run along, Marcia. There's no sense in the pair of us sitting here and plucking at our emotions, is there?
For the last time, Angela, tell me what you think Jeff's up to with Stella Bronson.
No, darling, I won't. But you can tell Jeff this. You can tell him that if I'm wrong, I'll eat that humble pie, dish and all, and enjoy doing it. Because you see, Marcia Pitt, if I don't see any more of you two, I'll be just a little bit lonely.
Poor Angela. She's so very unhappy. So am I. She was such a good friend of mine. Surely she could tell me about my husband and his secretary. There's no one else I can go to unless... Now, why hadn't I thought of that before? Percy Fleming might know something about that interstate trip of Jeff's and Stella's, at any rate. Yes, I'll go and smile sweetly at Percy Fleming.
We invite you to listen to further chapters of Office Wife, written by L.J. Harding, a Donovan Joyce production.